Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to Comic Book Club. I'm Alex, and my microphone is stuck on the table.
These are very well taped down. Yeah. Highly secure.
Thank you. Good job. We're not going to tear these up. I'm Alex.
I'm Justin.
I'm Pete.
And that's our man of the booth, Booth Man. Yay. And guys, we talked about this a little bit last week on the podcast. What's going on? What's up, Pete? Okay. Oh, okay. You're just doing a little thing. All right. We were just doing a little tech thing. If you're listening,
fun.
At home. If you're listening to last week's show, or if you're at last week's show, we are very close to passing a major milestone, which is 100,000 downloads.
Oh, right.
Our podcast.
Right. I thought we were entering middle age.
Yeah, we're entering
men.
Middle age mostly. Yeah. If we have done our math correctly, this is going to be the week where we pass 100,000 downloads.
100,000 downloads.
Yeah, and so,
and that's when the $100,000 will fall from the ceiling.
Right. If you're listening at home, a lone sad balloon fell from the ceiling, and that's all that happened.
A sand balloon?
Sad balloon.
Oh, man, would be the worst.
It's not a sad man, my favorite character.
We had water balloon fights when we were kids. You had sand balloon fights?
I lived in the desert.
That's terrible.
But what we promised was that we were going to give you guys a lot of prizes. And fun stuff. We're going to do it this week. We're also going to do it next week because it's kind of straddle the 100,000 downloads, as we like to say it. But let's start off right now.
Let's give away something.
Yes, let's give away something. How do you guys want to do this?
Well,
we got a couple things to give away. But I like first hand up.
Oh!
That guy right over there, you get an Avengers Earth Mightiest Heroes graphic novel, absolutely
nice.
Free.
Nice, that's great. It's a Wild West contest.
Unbelievable. Wait, next hand up.
That guy
over there.
Everyone's so happy, they're surprised
New
how fast they're
by Grant Morrison.
Nope, we've never supported handless audience members. Sorry.
Rest of you, don't worry. We have lots more stuff to give away throughout the show. We also have an amazing guest for you.
He's perhaps the greatest prize of all.
The greatest prize of all is talking to our friend.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, Ben McCool.
Mr. Ben McCool.
Welcome.
Yes. Hello. Here, come sit at the table. Take a microphone, Ben. Good. How are you?
Thank you.
Good. Now, before we get to chatting about comic books, last week we had Jim Zub on the show.
Oh, yes.
And he said there wouldn't be enough alcohol in this bar for you. Is that correct?
That's extremely correct. In fact, that might be the most correct thing you've ever said in your life.
Oh,
wow. Thirsty people, bring on the beer.
All right. Well, I've hidden one in a very special place, right underneath your foot. So that's for later.
There we go.
Emergency backup.
Yeah, guys, I'm
like an alcohol Easter bunny.
Beer and liquor all over this bar. See if you can find it.
It's mostly behind the bar.
Ben, you are working on a lot of stuff right now, like a ridiculous amount of stuff. First thing I wanted to talk to you about, you're doing a thing for Namco Bandai called Shifty Look.
Indeed, as was Mr. Jim Zub, who was on the show last week. So Shifty Look is essentially Namco Bandai plumbing through their back catalog of like old, and in most cases, dormant video game properties and resuscitating them in the form of webcomics. So you've got like an array of top-notch talent. You've got Marv Wolfman's doing like Time Crisis. You've got Jimmy Palmiotti's doing a couple of different series. It's all absolutely free as well. Free's good. We like free. More money to spend on beers and stuff.
Yeah.
So, and most of the strips are updated twice a week. A few of them are actually going to be three times a week going forward. But the strip I'm working on with Mr. Dean Haspiel, top-notch artist.
He lives in my neighborhood.
Oh, really? Yep. Yes, he's a dashing gentleman.
Yeah, he is. I see him at bars sometimes, and I'm like, it's a weekend. It's not a weekend. We're out.
Oh, I'm sure.
You guys are crazy. You and Dean.
Yeah, we're crazy.
So, Ben.
So the webcomic we're both doing together is called The Five Dimensional Adventures of Dirt Davis, and it's extremely loosely based on an old school game called Warp and Warp. So Warp and Warp came out in 1981.
It's
literally as primitive as it gets. It's like this kind of vague, pixelated guy running around shooting monsters with tongues hanging out.
Were your choices doing this or a webcomic based on Pong?
No, you know what? I think even the a colossal brain such as mine would struggle to come up with a story with bloody Pong. So,
paddles, brothers, driven apart by a ball.
Oh, man.
I read out of Steve at the Ed workshop.
Yeah, no, that's good. Yeah.
But Warp and Warp's only real gimmick in the game was that the main character, if you could call him such a thing, was able to transfer between two different worlds. There was the space world and the puzzle world, and there wasn't really too much difference. One was slightly more colourful and made even more annoying bleepy noises.
That's puzzles for you.
Well, that's it exactly. So this was literally all we had to go on when coming up with a story, which was great because it meant we could do whatever the bloody hell we wanted. And so we came up with this idea of a kind of a detective who's able to not only travel back through time but also across dimensions. So you'll be able to like blend in, I don't know, 1930s Chicago, for instance, with three-faced crocodiles from Neptunia. So literally just throw it all together, mental stuff galore. And so Dean Aspion's introduced this really almost kind of like Steve Ditko S60s sci-fi look to it. It looks absolutely fantastic. And the colorist, Alan Pasqualera, I believe you pronounce his name, like he's worked at DC for many, many years. And what he's decided to do is give each unique dimension a completely different color scheme. Oh. So very, very cool indeed. So like I say, shiftylook.com, it's all completely free. I think episode 19 of Dirt Davis came out today. So go check it out. Tons of fun.
Awesome.
Free.
Are you worried about pissing off the rabid fan base of Warp and Warp?
Yeah, Warp and Warp. Well, funnily enough, nobody I've spoken to has ever heard of the bloody
thing. I've never heard of that.
Well, it came out in 1981, as I say. A slightly more sophisticated version came out on the Famicom in Japan only. The Famicom was the NES system in the US and Europe. And that's basically it. So it hadn't seen any kind of mainstream exposure in the slightest in like 30 years. And I believe of all the Shifty Look titles they're currently doing, Warp and Warp is actually the oldest game, so yay us. Yeah.
What made them choose it, do you know? Why did they specifically focus on this game?
To be honest, I've absolutely no idea. I really wish I had a fantastic reason for that, but I believe they were just kind of like mining through this like enormous back catalogue of old, obscure games. I think they really wanted to, and as well as stuff like Time Crisis or whatever, they really wanted to get some of these oddball, outlandish titles that no one's ever heard of, let alone played, because it gives us, the creators, just way more opportunity to do whatever the heck we want, really.
Yeah.
So far as I'm aware, there's no special reason they picked it, but, you know, we've been able to create this really cool time-traveling, dimension-hopping story out of it. So,
I love the idea that when they were making the game, they were like, well, I can make the screen red or black. What do you think? And then, like, Warp and Warp.
Yeah,
it's two multi-world, one's puzzle world, and game over.
Absolutely. In fact, at C2E2 in Chicago this year, they actually had a working, like, arcade game, Warp and Warp, to be played by me, and I was rubbish at it. I mean, I suck at virtually all video games, but this one in particular, I just could not play the bloody thing.
Can't write your way out of that one.
The hope with this is that it eventually could potentially head back to video games, but with this new, more modern context.
Yeah, I mean, that's certainly one of the goals Namco Bandai have. They're just looking to, you know, bring these things back into prominence in whichever way they can. Like, there's been some talk of some of them being turned into, like, tablet games or cell phone games. Others possibly, like, full-blown Xbox 360 PS3 games. And there's even some mention on some of the titles, nudge, nudge, wink, wink, off, like, animated kind of web series as well. So they're looking to just pretty much exploit the property as much as they can while making it awesome, basically. That's pretty much the only rule. It has to be awesome.
Right. When you're writing it, do you keep that in mind at all, or is it just write the best comic I possibly can?
Yeah, I don't really think about too much of that ahead of time, to be honest. It's all about the comic. I guess it's my job just to produce an interesting story in three or four panel like increments, and I've never written a story using that kind of, you know, technique before, to be honest. It was a real challenge. Like, rather than having like an issue or even four or five pages, you've got three or four panels in which you need to advance the action, hopefully have some action, and then have some kind of cliffhanger at the end. So it was really, really tricky, but once I got into it, it was great, great fun. And like I say, webcomics are just ace because they're readily available, they're usually free, and literally anyone can access them at any time. So very good fun indeed.
Yeah. Is there, I don't know how much of a gamer you are, is there a video game, if you had a choice, Beyond Warp Warp, of course. But any other video game that you'd actually adapt into a comic?
Ooh, good bloody question. Well, to be honest, when I was a kid, I was a huge, huge video gamer. Love them to bits. And I actually own a PS3, but only really use it for like Blu-ray and Netflix streaming in my bedroom, to be honest. Saucy inside gossip. Yeah. but the main reason for that is I've seen how sophisticated and top-notch contemporary video games are. I'm terrified if I started playing them again, I'd never, ever get any writing done.
That's why I can't do it. It would eat my life.
You're playing too many video games.
Into my time playing Spelunker and old school Nintendo games.
Pitfall.
I don't go back to Pitfall. Anyone ever play Spelunker on old school Nintendo?
No.
Oh man, we're very old. No, it's a real game. That and Boothman. You ever play Boothman? Great game. No.
You guys ever play Fontanas?
Yeah, we're doing it right now.
Yeah. So
but yeah, my favorite video game series of all time was probably LucasArts' Secret of Monkey Island.
Oh, yeah,
quite literally goosebumps as I talk about it.
Yeah, that was
such
so good.
Epic nerdiness. But I remember the first one came out on the, I played it on the Commodore Amiga. I think you got that system in the US,
didn't you?
So the first one was 4 discs. I remember the Secret of Monkey Island 2 being 11 discs.
Yeah.
So quite literally every 5 or 6 minutes. Yeah. Please insert disc 7.
I love
please
that.
Insert disc 7.
Everyone has it so easy who plays video games now. Like, it was so much work back then. Absolutely. And if one of them got it scratched, your whole life was over. What was the point of getting it?
King's Quest. I didn't finish it until I was, 20 years later.
Yeah.
Because the very end.
Stick at it.
I did.
That's amazing.
Yeah. I got to finish something in my life.
Yeah, great.
What? Oh, yes. Was that sad?
Sad, yes.
Very
that's sad. You have a child.
Let's talk about something else with you. Let's talk about Nevsky, which is a graphic novel that's coming out in the next couple of weeks.
Next couple of weeks. It's either the last weekend. I've seen two different release dates online. It's either going to be the last week of June, so like 2 weeks' time, or the first week of July. And Nevsky's, once again, something I've never really done before. It's a reimagining of the classic 1938 Sergei Eisenstein movie, Alexander Nevsky, which tells the tale of Alexander Nevsky, funnily enough, banding together a fearsome bunch of warriors and kicking the invading Teutonic Order out of Russia. So, like a good old-fashioned historical epic, I suppose along the lines like 300 or something. But the really interesting thing about the movie was that it was basically engineered as being a piece of propaganda. In 1937, when they started shooting the film, the Nazi Party was starting to make nuisances of themselves in Europe.
What a nice way of saying it.
Absolutely.
Those scamps.
Those pesky Nazis.
Those little nuisances.
So apparently in early drafts of the Alexander Nevsky screenplay, they actually had the Teutonic Order with like swastikas emblazoned across them and stuff like that. That didn't make it into the actual movie, but there was definitely this whole, okay, then we're the Russians, we kicked the Germans' asses once before, let's do it all over again. So this film was released in 1939, and 2 weeks into the release, Stalin actually signed a peace treaty with Hitler. Hitler saying, listen, just let us do our thing, we won't go into Russia. So they were like, okay, then fair enough. So with the peace treaty signed, the movie was actually pulled from the cinemas despite this incredibly successful two-week opening. And then, 1941, shock, horror, Hitler goes against his word, invades Russia. This pees off Stalin enormously, and he orders that every cinema in Russia play this movie 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Wow.
You will watch us kick German ass. You will watch it. You can't avoid it. It's on everywhere. So that was pretty much the deal with the movie.
What should we do tonight? You want to go see Nevsky again? It's on at 4 a.m. Might as well pop in there.
Five.
Great day.
And six,
playing
and seven.
An IMAX.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So you're the
Russian 1940s IMAX.
Yeah,
sweet.
It was this big.
Yeah, it was sweet.
So you're basically the go-to guy for reimagining hot properties, it seems like, between this and Warp Warp, right?
Something along those lines. Yeah, it's very, very strange indeed. But both projects were such good fun because, as I said before, I'd never done anything like them. Like readapting old-school video games no one's ever heard of, readapting these like amazing like 1930s
political
movies.
Yeah.
But the movie's incredible. The final 45 minutes. It's basically a battle sequence. It takes place on Lake Chudsko, where the final battle between the Russian troops and the Teutonic Order actually took place. And it's like, you know, a really inspiring, incredible piece of cinema. Slightly dated now. I say slightly. Very dated now in terms of, like, pacing and some elements. Some of it's a little corny. But, hey, 1938. But it was just great, great fun, you know, taking these characters, trying to retain what made the original film so cool, but, you know, introducing, you know, more elements just to get contemporary audience excited about it once again. So the book looks absolutely gorgeous. Mexican artist Mario Guerra, who's done an incredible job, really striking, dynamic visuals, loads of great, you know, just really awesome action sequences drawn by him. Coloured mostly by David Barron, who colours most of, like, Jock and Francesco Francavilla's stuff. Yeah, yeah. So it's, like, really, again, really vibrant and beautiful. It's going to be top-notch. We've got an intro by Howard Chaykin, who knew all about the movie and pointed out a bunch of stuff I didn't know. And... you know, I thought, what? Really? That was pretty cool.
I watched it half asleep on my PS3.
Absolutely. I've done so much research, and Howard Chaykin's, like, knowledge of this property was just like, bloody hell.
Russians making their people read your graphic novel 24 hours a day?
Funnily you should ask that, because we had the two big companies behind the project of yours. There was Trident Media, a New York City-based literary agency. I mean, like, the editor I was working with edited Philip K. Dick, Frank Herbert. He still represents, like, the Frank Herbert estate, which is ridiculous. Wow. Incredible honor. And so they have, like, book distribution deals all around the world. But also Moss Film, one of Europe's oldest film production companies, and indeed the production company responsible for the first movie, they're actually involved in the project too. So with the help of, like, these two, you know, literary and cinematic giants, we're going to be able to thrust this bad boy everywhere, which will, you know...
You're going to be huge in Russia!
Yes!
But amazingly, I don't know how familiar you guys are with the LA Times, but they have the calendar section.
Never heard of it.
Tell us what that is.
Where is it based out of?
Cheeky bugger. That sort of thing. Arkansas somewhere? Yeah. But
Louisiana.
There we go.
There's a little abbreviation joke for everybody. Anybody? Anybody into some
keep
real abbreviated?
Coming, it's a good job I put my course.
Okay, just work in the letters K and Y, and I got two jokes for you. One of them's Kentucky.
Oh, boy.
And you'll figure out the other one.
I don't get it. All right.
I've actually forgotten what we were talking
about. Don't worry about it. All right.
Yes, we were in the LA Times calendar section last week, which was awesome as well. So can't wait for that bloody book to come out.
Cool. You're doing a bunch of other stuff as well. The one thing that I wanted to talk about at least was Pigs from Image. We were chatting a little bit last week about this, I think, and you were saying that that book is going to radically change pretty soon.
It is indeed, yeah. I need to keep the details slightly surreptitious for now, but it's going off in a whole new direction.
Cows.
How did you know?
Old McDonald.
Spoiler zone. But no, well it's going to be, it's a relaunch, but not quite, it's kind of difficult to explain without actually having made the official announcement yet, but it's going to go off in a crazy new direction. There'll be some new characters. There'll be more focus placed on certain characters in the book at the moment. It's going to be pretty darn awesome.
Yeah. And very quickly, for those of you who don't know about the book, the idea is that there's a sleeper cell in Cuba that's woken up now.
Yeah,
ish.
Like second generation KGB Cuban sleeper cell.
Right,
basically.
And their job is to take down the United States, and they potentially pretty much do it. Mm-hmm. That's where we start off, and then we find out how we get
there. It's going to suck.
Oh, it's not actually happening.
It's a documentary.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
But
panic. Oh, you didn't panic that much.
But
you love Cuban sandwiches, so you must have been sort of excited.
Yeah, but you're basically going to be rebooting or changing the main central concept in some way?
Yeah, I guess, like I said, we're going to be putting more prominence on two characters in particular, but the rest of the cast will still be involved, just in a slightly different way. So it's going to be pretty cool. I think it's either Heroes Con or San Diego will be unleashing the full details. But, yeah, we're pretty excited about it. It's going to be tons and tons of fun.
All right. Well, great.
That's awesome.
There we go.
Guys, we're going to move on with our next section, which we like to call The Stack.
Yeah, we do.
All right.
Maybe we should give another prize away before we start, though.
Should we give another prize away? That's a great idea.
Are we going to stick with this?
Are we going to do our tried and true raise your hand as quickly as you possibly can?
No, I think slowest hand up.
The slowest hand up.
Slow raise
up. All right, if you're listening at home, 5 hours passed.
The guy in the back is slowly... Nope.
No, that's Boothman.
No, I know, but the guy in the back moved his hand away from his face.
Slowest hand up gets a prize.
He did it! It's not technically the slowest, good because job. Other people could still
all right,
be raising
well, their Pete
hands.
Is bringing you your free graphic novel. Congratulations on raising your hand ever so slow. We're going to move on with our first pick, which isn't exactly a pick.
Nice.
One thing that I'll say, and this is the kind of the same thing we said last week, DC has been nice enough to provide us with an advance look at this comic. What we're about to say about it, don't tweet about it, don't tell anybody about it until tomorrow, just because it's not coming out tomorrow. If
you
you're
can
listening
tell
to this,
anyone over the age of 60 about it. How about that?
Right, because they're not going to remember.
They
let's
remember.
Be honest.
And they,
they're
they
so old.
Yeah.
We're all young, right, you guys?
Sort of.
Sweet. All right, but we're going to talk about it right now. If you're listening at home, obviously, whatever, talk about it if you want. Please, please tweet your friends. All right, we're going to talk about Before Watchmen, Silk Spectre, number
nice.
One
Comes
from
out
DC
tomorrow.
Comics. Pass this over to Ben so he can take a look through it. But we got into a little bit of a debate, I think, last week
right.
about the Before Watchmen project.
Good
for
morning.
Those of you, this is really taped down, Boothman. This is very taped down. All right, there we go. Much better. For those of you guys who don't know about this and don't know what's going on, Watchmen, obviously you probably heard about the graphic novel by Alan Moore and Dave Gibbons. DC is doing a number of prequel miniseries to Watchmen. First issue came out last week. That was Minutemen number one. This is the second issue, Silk Spectre number one, written by Darwin Cook and Amanda Connor with art by Amanda Connor. Mm. Now, without getting too much into spoiler territory, I think we were pretty mixed about Minutemen. I know I really liked it a lot. You guys were not as crazy about it.
That's correct.
What did you think about this issue?
Well, let me start by saying I wanted to hate this, not because of the people on it. I think the people involved are very talented.
You can say that about almost anything in your life.
Well, I just feel that, like, you know, Before Watchmen to me is a little sacrilegious, so I wasn't excited. But this is a fantastic comic. Really well done. The art's amazing.
Yeah, it looks gorgeous,
it's,
isn't it?
What yeah, I didn't like about Minutemen was it was like just recapping all the shit that I knew. This really delves into stuff I didn't know, and it kind of explores it in a cool way. So interesting, so well done, and also kind of kept the feel a little bit of Watchmen with a bunch of different stuff going on at once with the music kind of overlaying everything. I thought it was... I really liked it, and yeah, I didn't.
To give you a
wow.
little bit of background about what's going on in this book, again, with not getting into spoiler territory too much, this is looking at young Silk Spectre 2, who we know is Laurie from mm-hmm. Watchmen, and her relationship with her mother as she's growing up, which, again, if you read the book, you know it's not a particularly good relationship.
Right.
But the thing that I think is really nice about this book is they don't go an easy way out. You know, it's very complicated emotions that are going on here, and Amanda Connor gets them across brilliantly with yeah. her pencils.
Yeah.
Her use of emotion for her characters here is amazing.
There's a great series of cutaways that are in here that are really nice and well done, yeah.
and
drawn.
Everything is very powerful and well done.
And even yeah. though, like, I feel like both last week's comic and this one, I feel like you got to look at it sort of, I like to look at it separate from Watchmen and try to be like, is this a good comic on its own? And I think this one is for sure. It's like a nice story. The character's really interesting, and I'm surprised at the twists and turns it goes through, and I'm looking forward to the next issue.
And also something that talks about how good this comic is, I hate things that involve high school and kids and, oh, you know, I don't know what's going on with my emotions and puberty. And this is so well
That's
done.
Where you're at right now.
Yeah, Pete. I know, Pete. Oh, you guys should know Pete's a 15-year-old high school student.
Sure,
so
guys.
He's a little angsty right now.
I hate acne.
Ben, did you check out Minutemen last week, and what's your general opinions on Before Watchmen?
Tragically, I still haven't read it yet. I am so, so behind in my reading. I have a stack like that, once again, next to my bed. So I've really got to get stuck.
You're
a
real
nester. Crazy
wow.
stuff
real
going
nester.
On in your bedroom.
So, see, Before Watchmen, when I first heard about it, I'll be honest, I wasn't exactly abundantly happy. It's like, it's just such a, you know, a pinnacle of the industry, and it's just such a great achievement in itself. The original, obviously, that is. I just didn't think it needed to be interfered with. That being said, the creators involved, like you were saying, are absolutely top notch. Any art I've seen from the book so far has been absolutely gorgeous. Plus, also, it's got people talking about comics in pretty much every medium out there.
Yeah, just real sorry to interrupt, but I saw a commercial on IFC for Before Watchmen. There was like a 1 minute long commercial.
How was the commercial though?
It was basically like the comic book.
Did it make you hungry? Did you want to?
No.
Yeah, it was somebody
it
eating a big pile of Before Watchmen.
Yeah.
Like, the
yeah,
new
yeah,
Before
yeah.
Watchmen
Before
burger.
Oh, right. Oh, I guess it was a Burger King commercial. My mistake.
Yeah.
I know, but I was surprised to see a
Sure, they're definitely reaching out there. I think this is a good book. In particular, you said you were looking forward to the next couple of issues. This is everything that I needed to know, I feel like, about Silk Spectre. This is one of the things that I liked about this issue. Is one of my reservations about the series, is I felt like this is a complete package right here in this comic issue. Book. In this one issue. So if you're only looking to pick up one Before Watchmen comic book and you have any interest in Silk Spectre, you could do pretty well with just this one issue.
I bet you're going to like the
what
second issue, though.
What audience members laughing at me?
Yeah, that's a real catchphrase there, Zelman.
My catchphrase is, why are you laughing at me?
Yeah. It always has been.
Cool.
Back from your clown days.
Great. All right, Pete, let's move on with your pick, which was Ferrist, number 4 from Vertigo Comics.
Ferrist!
This is over to you.
Let's see.
Take it out of the bag, but just don't fold it, because it's Pete's.
Don't fold the bag.
Thank you. Yeah.
I was talking about the bag. Don't fold the bag.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Comic you can wreck.
Don't know.
Let's see. So this is your pick.
Yeah, this is my pick. I was kind of surprised.
This is a spinoff of the Fable storyline.
Did you just fall in love with someone from your social studies class who's the fairest? Is that what happened here?
Nope.
Okay, go ahead.
So this is kind of a... What I like about this spinoff series is it does a great job of
telling... From Fables.
From Fables, right. It does a great job of like telling a story, but not in the kind of like... What you see is like somebody like really wrecked at the end or like at this cliffhanger moment, and then you flash back and you got to watch everything, and then you know where it's going to end up, so you don't really give a shit. What's nice is they use this imp kind of character to kind of give us information as stuff happens in a way that's very enjoyable to read.
Yeah.
He's telling stories.
Yeah. So a little backstory on this. Alibaba has awakened two princesses with his kiss. Well, one's a queen.
Two princesses.
Yep.
Yeah. Princesses who adore you.
I don't know, and I don't like what you're doing right now.
Well, that's what I said now.
Yeah. Alex, once again, shoehorning a Spin Doctor song into our show.
Every show.
Once again, showing your age.
Whatever. I got a pocket full of kryptonite.
Oh, that doesn't...
Does it follow?
That's the worst thing that happened to comic books ever.
Yeah.
When they released Pocket Full of Kryptonite, comic books were basically like,
Do you remember? The 90s was a boom. That song came out over. You remember?
Is that
That's
true?
What happened. Yeah.
Yeah.
I promise you. It's like Black Tuesday or Black Friday. Black Friday is when people shop a lot.
Yeah, but comics come out on Wednesday, so it would probably be Black Wednesday.
That's good. Well,
thanks.
Black Tuesday is that's when the stock market
crashed. Yeah. That was my birthday.
Yeah.
Sorry, that's some.
Oh, back. What? You want to bring it back? Okay.
Well, would you like to touch on some history as we go through the Great Depression?
Anyways, this is an amazing comic. Really
well written,
well drawn. You should check
it out. It's a little bit wandery, I find. The first few issues have been sort of all over the place. I'm ready to have the story sort of get going. Anyway, so he wakens to a queen and a princess, and there's this bottle imp. What's that? No.
Nope.
Nothing.
And he's sort of telling the story, and he's like a modern day. He makes a lot of references to like modern things like Firefly, Buffy, and so that's sort of fun. And then the story is sort of we're seeing like the ruined castle, and then we're finding out how they got there as it went. So it's a lot of story at once. I'm looking forward to them really getting to it.
Yeah, I enjoy the series too. It doesn't feel as essential as the main series or a lot of the spinoffs even that they've done before. It feels like the least essential one. But the art by Phil Jimenez is
it's the fairest.
Bang up. It's great. Really
it's
good.
Bang up.
I'm sorry it doesn't feel as essential to you. But to some people, it does.
Okay, but you're wrong. All right, Justin, let's move on with your pick. AVX, number 5, Avengers versus X-Men, number 5 from Marvel Comics. So the Avengers are fighting the X-Men. What's going on?
They're fighting them on the moon.
Why can't they just get along?
I don't know. To be honest, it doesn't feel like a lot's happening. Are you guys reading this as it's going? Excited? Anybody?
Why not?
It's
rousing
very slow.
Excitement.
Yeah, that's my thing with it. And if you're reading any of the like outside titles, they're even slower. They're just repeating other things that are happening. And I'm just really surprised by this comic. It's been built up as such a big event, and it has been. It's like the whole thing is built around whether Wolverine's going to kill Hope, and then there's been so many of him standing next to her being like, geez, am I going to kill this girl or what? Mm-hmm. And it's like, I don't know. No, I think. And then he doesn't. And then you're like,
Do you think you'd have an easier time killing a teenage girl?
No, but I want my characters in a compressed story.
I'm just saying. If a teenage girl was like, well, you got to kill me. And you're like, done. And then you were standing next to her. She's like, time to kill me.
I've done that at least three times in my life. And I'm sorry. I just am a better hero than Wolverine.
Wow, that's horrible.
No, wow. I just feel like not a lot has happened. And then we get sort of a turn here where the Phoenix Force does arrive, and Iron Man makes like a Lego robot, I guess I would call it.
Yeah, it's a Lego Iron Man.
It's a giant Lego robot. Yeah. And he shoots the Lego robot at the Phoenix, and the Phoenix is like, I don't know. And it's like, let's just make everyone a Phoenix. And then all the X-Men are like very austerely looking out like, oh, shit, I'm a Phoenix now, too.
I was like, you know, it's the buildup of, oh, man, the Phoenix Force, oh, it's going to kill everybody. And it's killing people as it's getting to the moon.
Planets!
Yeah, and then it gets here, and it's like, actually, guys, I just wanted to team up with five of your members that I'm going to choose randomly. Okay.
Yeah.
I don't understand.
I will say, for a comic book where superheroes are fighting each other on the moon while a fiery bird is attacking them and then turns them into fire people, there's a big Lego robot that blows a firebird apart. It should be a little more fun.
Yes, I agree. It's not fun. It's like work.
Yeah.
Like everyone's unhappy all the time in this comic.
Well, as in they're just playing it too serious, or I mean,
yeah,
it is. Like it doesn't seem like if you go back and reread the Infinity Gauntlet, like everyone was mad about that when that was happening. All the heroes were like, "Oh man, we're all going to die probably." But that was so fun. It was such a fun story. And this sort of, I feel like, aims at that epic scale, and everyone just seems mean and negative all the time.
Well, do you think there is an event? I mean, you just mentioned Infinity Gauntlet, but is there an event that worked, that was really good, was really fun, and also had major lasting change in comic books?
Wow. Civil War. Yeah.
I was
going to
say Civil War.
Civil War.
Yeah. Close.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just felt like that fizzled out by the end. I love the beginning of that, and then by the end, it was just a lot of drawn out fighting in the last couple of issues.
Yeah. Secret Invasion was fun because of all the like who's a Skrull, who's not. I think that sort of sustained it for a while. But I feel like events from years ago were more fun because they were less deliberate. I feel like. Infinity Gauntlet, what else? The Vibranium Vendetta. I know I bring that up. yeah. The original, an audience member saying the original X-Men versus Avengers, yeah. Or even just the X-Men focused events like Days of Future Past, we talked about a couple weeks ago.
That was
like,
great. So Fall of the Mutants, Inferno is my favorite event of all time.
The X-Men event I read was probably Extinction Agenda, which was 1990. Claremont and Jim Lee on Uncanny. That was literally when I first started getting into American comics.
Which one was that?
Extinction Agenda, Uncanny. Yeah.
Was that one the one with Strife, or was it the one with Genosha?
Strife.
Guys.
Was Genosha. Yeah. Executioner's song was Strife.
Cool.
That was a fun event. I like that.
Yeah. When Cable? Was that? How long ago was that?
That was like
30
mid-90s.
Years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't think I ever read that.
Yeah. That comic was published on pieces of wood. It was actually cut into pieces of wood. Very collectible.
All right, let's move on with my pick, which was Journey into Mystery, number 639.
Yeah.
From Marvel Comics. I love this book. I think it's so good. For those of you who aren't reading it, it stars Loki, who's been reduced to the size of a child.
He is a child.
And he's basically been reborn, so he knows at some point he may end up being evil, but he's kind of trying not to get there as he gets older. But he still has a predilection towards being tricky and tricking people all the time. In this issue...
He's so tricky.
He is, though. I mean, that's basically what he does, is he gets into these messes. He gets into scraps, and they're really fun.
And the way that... Because he's a tricksy little guy.
The way that Kieran Gillen writes this book, it's constantly poking fun at the structure of comic books, things that are going on, pokes fun at the characters. This issue, he takes a trip to London, and he immediately puts on a shirt that says, I love London, and just wants to see the sights instead of saving London from a magical incursion. He makes references that make fun of Captain Britain and Camelot. It's really funny, really well done, great characters throughout. And even if you don't regularly read comic books, I think this is something you can jump right into.
Yeah, I love this series. You want to talk about a fun event? They just did a crossover the last two issues of this and two issues of New Mutants. That crossover was super fun, funny, like epic, involved the whole Asgardian pantheon.
Yeah, they all got turned into native San Franciscans and lost their memory. And so, like, Thor is working as a mechanic with a hat, and he's like, "Yeah, yeah, I get the jokes all the time about
from Adventures in Babysitting." It was great. It was so fun and so funny. And this it blends, like, it is very funny, but also like the fantasy elements are great. Like in this, the villain is like a sort of a mythological city is sort of taking over all the other pantheons throughout the world, and it's really cool. I love it.
It's absolutely gorgeous as well. I mean,
art's great. Yeah.
I mean, well, Richard Elston, it's drawn by one of my pals, another English guy. I don't think I've ever seen him work in US comics before. He was like a real mainstay at 2000 AD. So I don't know if I've just been missing it, but that is absolutely gorgeous.
Well, isn't Kieran Gillen British as well?
Yeah, he's a good. Yeah,
so,
yeah.
Guys, it's a British invasion.
Yeah, so I'm slightly biased. They're both my friends, but I mean, really top notch looking stuff there.
Yeah,
it's a great comic. And Pete, I know you rapidly skimmed through it right before the show and never read this title. What did you think about it?
Yeah, I didn't think it was essential, Alex. I didn't think it was, you know, it's essential to everything that's
Pete's
going on
being
right
angsty,
now.
Pete.
Come on, I'm an angsty teen.
You're going to graduate from high school eventually, I'm sure of it.
I know. Finish your college gap.
I thought it was really creative, really well done, and it's a fun kind of escape, and especially if you know Loki, it's very enjoyable to kind of see him.
You know Loki?
Personally?
Yeah. That's so cool. Is he as tricky in person? Because Alex is more
tricky would you say
it's worse.
Like,
worse than the way he's portrayed.
Like he puts a bucket above your bathroom door full of water, or he throws a sand balloon at you like Alex is you.
Yeah. I hate sand balloons.
All right, that's it for the stack. Guys, we're going to move on with our next section, which is my favorite section because you guys make it up. It's your audience questions. And for that, we're going to go over to Boothman. And one thing that I want to mention, first couple of questions are all going to get prizes, but we're going to have a special prize for whoever has the best question. So at the end of the questions, I'm going to ask Ben what the best question was. So hopefully you asked the best question.
Let's
see
what happens.
Yeah. All right, first one. I imagine this is for Ben, but you guys be the judge of that. Do you base a lot of your writing on personal experiences in your own life?
It depends on the project. Warp and Warp of Dirt Davis, not quite so much. But there were other projects. I guess, I don't know about personal life experience. Certainly, like, movies I've seen or books I've read definitely come into play. And, you know, the emotions they might have generated, I want to sometimes try and, you know, replicate them. Like, I want somebody to feel as happy and joyous as I did the first time I saw Alien, for instance, you know, so it's, you know.
So that's why you made Prometheus?
Wow. Congratulations.
That's my little secret, actually. Have you guys seen Prometheus yet? I loved it personally.
Really?
Most of my friends seemingly did not.
A lot of people have truly hated it.
I really, really enjoyed it, but we'll get to that afterwards. So, yeah, so in regards to experience, occasionally you can, you know, incorporate it into some of your characters and perhaps it affects the decisions they make in the story, but you know, more so influence from other top-notch works for the most part. Yeah.
Most of my diary is based on my personal experience.
Yeah. Cool. Raise your hand if you ask that. You're going to get some free comics. Let's get the next question.
Why is the new Green Lantern going to shoot me?
Oh, right. Okay, so for those of you who haven't seen this, DC is having a zero month that's coming up in September. They're going to be not rebooting their comics again, but some of them are going to be flashing back. Some of them are going to be doing little new stories that are going to launch the next year of stories. One of the things that Geoff Johns has been teaching in Green Lantern for a long time is that there are new Green Lanterns coming, and there's potentially this evil Green Lantern that's going to be going after the Justice League. He's going to be showing up.
Are you telling me one of the Green Lanterns is going to be evil?
Yeah, that's never happened before in the history of Green Lantern.
Right, okay.
So this Green Lantern on the cover of Green Lantern Zero has showed up. He has a mask on his face. We don't know who he is. But he's a Green Lantern who, this will be important in a second, is an African-American guy, and he's holding a gun and pointing it straight at you. Not a Green Lantern gun, an actual physical gun. So there are certain people that are a little upset about this depiction.
Did you mean African-Americans when you said certain people?
Yeah, well, also comic book readers.
Yeah.
What, I kind of feel like if there's any superhero that does not need a gun since they can make guns with their rings, it's probably not a Green Lantern.
But, I mean, think about it. Like, when you're, like, making dinner, wouldn't it be easier if you just had dinner? They're waiting for you.
Oh, okay. I thought you were going to say, would it be easier if you shot your dinner?
Yeah. Shooting your dinner is better.
Maybe he's...
A watch pot never boils unless you put a gun in his face.
Yeah.
And
boil. You boil, motherfucker.
That doesn't work either. Yeah. I took a cooking class.
With a gun.
Yeah.
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 Yeah, it just makes me think that it's not a Green Lantern if it's got a gun.
I mean, he can have a gun.
Right.
I don't know. It just seems like, do we need a street-level Green Lantern? Is that what the
I'm not quite
the game
sure what
here
it is.
And then that's also offensive.
It's
just,
that's the problem. I feel weird
when it's a skirts something where it's like, DC does not have a great track record with not being offensive about stuff.
Yeah.
So for them to do this doesn't necessarily help them, I think, too much.
Yeah.
But I guess we'll have to see. I'm sure there's a really good story
reason. I just can't believe we didn't even make it to 9 issues before they rebooted it to 0. That's ridiculous to me.
Well, yeah. I was going to say there's probably some sort of reason, but there's not.
Yeah. Raise your hand if you ask that. You're going to get some free comics. So let's get the next question.
Who's your favorite writer?
Ooh.
Oh, wow. Ben McCool.
Yep.
Oh, thank you. last week, did we get favorite artist or did we get just favorite creator, I think.
Yeah, we did.
Creator. Okay.
In comics? Well, who's your favorite writer?
In comics or just in general?
General Anything. And then in comics.
I'd say I'm a huge, huge fan of like Haruki Murakami, Japanese author. Big fan of his.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like James Elroy, I'm a huge fan. Mm-hmm. And then like kind of comics, I guess Garth Ennis was the writer that made me want to write comics. I remember, you know, reading, he was doing Hellblazer. I started reading it about 93 when like John Constantine's down and out bum on the streets of London, and it was just absolutely amazing. So I kind of, talking of life experience, I really wanted to make a reader feel close to how, you know, exhilarated I felt after reading that. I was just like, this is absolutely incredible. So always a big Garth Ennis fan. And then most of the British posse, to be honest, anything Peter Milligan writes, anything Warren Ellis, Grant Morrison, big fan of Brian K. Vaughan's. I'll read anything Scott Snyder does. So I've got an abundance of favorite writers, to be honest. But
what about you guys? Do you guys have a couple of favorite writers right now?
Yeah, I mean, Scott, he touched on a lot of them. Jason Aaron does amazing work. I'm totally blanking on who did the short stories. He also does comics. Did Smoke and Mirrors. I can't remember.
Neil Gaiman.
Neil Gaiman. Is that really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Who's the guy who wrote Watchmen? I like that stuff.
Oh, yeah, that's Alan Thicke. Alan Thicke. He's a great...
Wow, an Alan Thicke reference, dude.
Deep ref, yep.
Yeah, Alan Thicke was like, take my name off that.
Take my name off Growing Pains. Was that the one he was in? Yeah.
Cool. Why don't you raise your hand if you ask that? You're going to get some free comics. And one more question? All right, let's get it.
Let's get it.
Get it.
Keep a page. You have one established property available to remake from the ground up in your image. What is
in
it?
My
and
image?
How will it end up? Don't take it too literally.
Oh, okay.
Hold on. What was this again?
An established property. We have the chance to remake it from the ground up, we would like.
Great. If there was any way of giving a Green Lantern a gun, I think that would be awesome.
No, definitely.
Real cool.
Just sort of like a sword something. Something really imaginative.
Yeah, he can use his will to power his fists to punch people.
That's good.
I would love to make a Punisher movie and make it good. That would be the one thing I would like to do.
That would be awesome.
What's your idea for a Punisher movie again?
It's
spotlight.
Really, okay, so it's what I wouldn't do is go into this whole thing.
Pitch what you would do.
Okay, all right.
We are three executives.
All right,
at whatever movie studio owns Punisher.
So
tell us.
It would just
first off, Pete. We love your work. Great. Thanks for coming in here. Would you like a bottle of water or anything?
No, I'm all right.
You good?
Yeah,
okay.
I'd love to
don't have a lot of time. I have to get to another meeting.
Yeah.
Okay. We're rebooting Spider-Man again. So if you can hurry up on this,
Pete, real quick. Why'd you wear a Punisher shirt to your Punisher pitch meeting? A little on the nose.
Damn it! I just have a lot of heard that I wear.
Have you ever heard of a button-down shirt?
I can't do it.
And I just want to mention, Pete, before you pitch it, we're trying to get out to family audiences, so no guns. So go.
And it needs to have.
Your guy.
This
then.
Is actually going to be an Air Bud in the Air Bud feature. It's going to be Air Bud Punishment.
Yeah, if there's some way that the Punisher can learn to play basketball, that would be great.
So with
Air
all that
Bud
in mind,
meets Punisher in space.
With all that in mind, can we hear your pitch?
No, you can't. This project isn't for you guys. It's something
you're never going to work.
I got to tell you, I really, really want to see a comic where the Punisher learns to play basketball, and everyone's like, "How is he doing that?"
It's amazing. Air Frank.
Cool.
No,
so
don't have it. You don't have.
I do, but you guys. What about you guys? What would you remake?
Reboot from the ground up. Whew. Yeah. Before Watchmen.
You'd reboot Before Watchmen?
Yeah, it's way off. It's off the mark. It's gone too crazy. I feel like they need to get back to basics.
Right.
The continuity's too thick.
They have to get back to last week when Before Watchmen was good.
Bingo, yeah, exactly.
Oh.
Isn't that true, guys?
Yeah.
That true?
What about you, Ben?
I'll tell you what, that's a good question. Either Dragnet or The Twilight Zone. Probably Dragnet. My two favorite TV shows of all time.
Nice. Put them together.
I'll tell you what, it's exactly what I was just thinking. Supernatural twist and some hard-boiled cop show. That could be really damn awesome, actually.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Let's talk after the show.
All right, sounds good.
Oh, yeah, you could pitch. I'm a big Hollywood exec, so you guys can pitch. Thanks for meeting with me, guys. It's great to have you here.
Great.
I would reboot season 5, 6, and 7 of Lost.
Oh, fuck you.
Huh? Fuck me?
Yes.
Fuck you.
Cool.
So would you like those?
Yes.
Bullshit.
I don't want to talk about this.
Oh, sorry.
It's only been the last season of Lost. I mean, I actually enjoyed 6. The last season had 2 amazing episodes and a bunch of not so good ones. And the ending, I was just like,
why are we still talking about this?
That's why I would reboot it. I'd reboot season 1 of Flash Forward, which was the only season.
Zalbin, why don't you answer the question?
Why don't I answer?
If we're talking about
comic book properties.
Anything. You can reboot anything.
Reboot the video game if you want.
Reboot hamburgers. Love to really bring them back to basics, see what happens.
Thanks for meeting with me. I'm a huge... I'm in control of all food.
Cool. I have this really great idea for hamburgers.
Would you like... Hey, do you want a bottle of water or a regular hamburger? Before we get into this?
No, I'm not so much into that.
Okay.
Idea is, you know how everybody likes bacon cheeseburgers? What they like about it, cheese and bacon, just make it a cheese bacon. Get rid of the burger. No burger.
The video game.
Nobody likes burgers. Am I right, guys?
My assistant likes to talk a lot during these meetings, but actually, could you run out and get us a hamburger or something?
Burger Time was a fantastic game back then.
Yeah, I'd reboot it without the burgers.
Time?
Yeah.
Just call it time.
Just be a clock.
Yep.
Oh, man, your childhood was
difficult.
Guy's
running back and forth, and he's like, what has happened to my life?
Yeah. Oh, wow. Bleak. Rather bleak. Though telling. Very telling.
I just wish Samuel Beckett had done more video games.
Yeah. You mean the time traveler from Quantum Sleep?
Yep. I sure do. Oh, boy. All right, raise your hand if you ask that. You're going to get some free comics. And Ben, what was your favorite question?
I'd say, I actually quite enjoyed talking about Green Lantern and the guns. On the go of question 2.
Nice. Right.
Who asked the Green Lantern with the guns question? Well, sir, since this is our 100,000 download podcast.
Yep.
And next week also is our $100,000 podcast.
Yep.
We're giving away 100 comics from our personal collections.
Yep.
This week, I'm going to give you 50 comics from my personal collection free to you.
It's a
there you go. And now you need to carry them home through the rain, so congratulations. And next week, we're going to give away 50 comics from Justin's collection.
My collection.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
So decide which is going to be higher
quality.
They're
going to not be as nice and well put together.
Porno
comics. There you go. But congratulations. Thanks for coming to the show. And that's it for your audience questions. Thank you, Booth Man.
Thank you, Booth Man. Thank you, audience.
All right, guys, very quickly, we are going to move on with our next section, which we like to call The Week in Geek.
Yeah.
That was killing a little bit of time for Booth Man, but what we're going to do with The Week in Geek is talk about some geek culture. Geek culture topics that you guys may have heard about or may not that happened over the past week. First thing we're going to talk about, I was curious to get your take on this, Pete, but I don't know if you heard about this, but The Stuff of Legend, that's one of your favorite comic book series. It's being made into a hybrid live-action cartoon movie for Disney by commercial director Pete Candyland.
That's my pseudonym for myself.
Old Pete Candyland.
That's
old
not your port Pete name?
Yeah.
Yep.
Because your first name is Pete and you grew up in Candyland?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the street I grew up on.
Also, Pete's body is a Candyland.
Yeah.
According to...
Your body is a Candyland.
Oh, boy.
No, don't do that.
No.
Pete, you like Stuff of Legend. You want to talk about it a little bit and what you look forward to
second,
in a movie?
Though. What does that mean? It's a live-action cartoon movie. That does make sense.
Yeah, they panicked.
They're talking about it like how they did Alice in Wonderland for Disney, where there were live-action elements and then animated elements coexisting.
I mean, this is basically Toy Story.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right?
For those of you who don't know, the idea with Stuff Legend is it essentially is a dark toy story about a kid who is sucked into Toyland in his closet.
That's what happened.
And there's a civil war raging on, right?
Yeah.
Is that fair?
Yeah, that's not fucking Toy Story.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, it basically is.
Do you ever listen to those Randy Newman songs? Or they will fuck you up.
Or there's a civil war.
Toys are walking into the closet. All right.
We're going to cut that out and make that an MP3 track.
That's
available
a ringtone.
Download. Yeah.
That's if it's anything like the comic, it'll be amazing. You assholes.
Have you read Stuff of Legends at all, Ben?
I have not, no. So
you should. It's really good.
I was going to say, I'm quite intrigued now.
Just watch Toy Story in a dark room with something you don't like.
Are you familiar with Pete Candyland's work at all?
No.
Okay. He directed, if you ever played Beatles Rock Band, he directed the opening of Beatles Rock Band.
Oh, man. That's my favorite thing that came out last 2 years ago.
Cool. So we're very excited about that.
Pete Candyland.
A lot of times I'll just play Beatles Rock Band. I'll just put that on. I won't even play it.
Yeah. Next piece of news. This is kind of an interesting thing that came out this week. You know, a lot of people who don't know stuff about rights were asking, hey, why wasn't Spider-Man in the Avengers movie? He's a big Marvel character, right? Mm-hmm. Turns out, first of all, because of rights, you can't have them in the same movie. However, Sony and Disney apparently talked about it, and up until the last second, they were going to put the Oscorp building from Amazing Spider-Man in the skyline of the Avengers, but because of timing and finishing the visual effects, they couldn't actually get it in.
Man, that would have been awesome.
It would have.
It would have
to
been.
See that building in the skyline, I would have just gone crazy.
It would have been awesome.
Because that was my big complaint out of the Avengers. I was like, great movie, great sequences.
Screw
Where
you,
was the Oscorp building?
No.
Where was the fucking Oscorp building? No. Is what I said, remember?
It
I said it. Where's the fucking Oscorp building?
It would have been a nice little thing.
Easter egg. Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
You asshole.
What do you think about that, Ben? Would you have liked to see some Spider-Man stuff in the Avengers?
For geeky nostalgia, I guess so, but does it make that much of a difference? Really? I'm not too sure.
Oh, no? How much time do you think was dedicated to the New York skyline in the Avengers movie? One second?
Most of it got smashed. Did you see that? There was a website actually reported on how much the damage inflicted on you would actually cost.
Yeah.
It was like something like $3 trillion, something like
it
that.
It was expensive.
Well, this is a world where they have the ability to make a flying aircraft carrier. So I feel like they have a little bit more money than we do.
This is true.
You think?
Yeah, probably.
That's got to be expensive. Fuel prices being.
I got three of them. I don't know what you're talking about.
Helicarriers?
Yeah.
I got helicarriers.
Yo, that's for our West Coast listeners.
All right. Last thing. I don't know how much you guys watch the Marvel cartoons that are on Disney XD at all. Probably
that's,
not.
I thought you had to be under 18 to watch that channel.
Anyway, here's our news item. So there's two shows currently running. One is Ultimate Spider-Man. The other is Avengers Earth's Mightiest Heroes. A lot of people, fans, were very upset to find out that Earth's Mightiest Heroes was actually canceled.
What?
And is going to be replaced next season by a new show, Avengers Assemble, that's going to follow the movie continuity. Yeah. Now, are you
that
upset
sense.
About that at all? Did you watch any of these shows?
To be honest, I'm behind on my shit, clearly. I have not seen them. A fair few of my friends do watch them, and by all accounts, they're pretty bloody good, so I must check them out. I'm intrigued by following the movie continuity there. Are they trying to bring in people who saw the movie and want to see it expanded upon?
It's all it's just up. Them eating shawarma, basically. Oh, is that what you're going to say?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Beat me to it.
Gotcha.
And that's it for the Week of Geek.
I was going to say one last thing on that.
Yeah.
I feel like DC doesn't get a lot right in the larger entertainment world, but their cartoon, their animated stuff is so good.
So amazing.
I've been watching that and really liking it. That and The Legend of Korra, if anyone's a fan of Avatar, The Last Airbender.
Good stuff. All right. We're going to move on to the next section, which is trivia. And for that, we're going to turn it over to Pete LePage.
Guys, this is the part we give back to you. The lovely audience, thank you so much for showing up. We really appreciate it. It's an opportunity to win $25 free in the form of a gift card to Midtown Comics.
Can I interrupt you, Pete? Has anybody not won anything this show yet? Anybody?
That guy. That guy. Come on up. Come on up. What is your name, sir?
My name's John.
John, audience. Audience, John.
Hi.
All right. So, John, I'm going to put this gift card here that you may win. Maybe.
Maybe.
So how this is going to work is I'm going to read you a question. You listen to all three possible answers. You get all three right. You win $25.
All
right?
All three right. Okay.
Yep. So today's trivia is on Ben McCool. Imagine that.
Uh-oh.
All right. Here we go. Question number one. Thank you, Booth Man. Use the music. It helps. Ben McCool has worked on all of these comics except one. Which one is it? Is it A, Choker, B, Justice League Unlimited, or is it C, Fun with Napkins? Yeah, it's pretty great. It's either A, Choker, B, Justice League, or C, Fun with Napkins.
C.
C is nice. Correct.
Well, the rare C answer from Pete LePage.
Okay, question number two. On Ben's blog spot, what project did he call an absolute hoot? Is it A, The Five-Dimensional Adventures of Dirk Davies? Is it B, Pigs? Or is it C, Babu the Metal Owl from Clash of the Titans? Which one is an absolute hoot?
Absolute hoot.
Is it A, which would be the correct answer, or it's B?
That would have to be A.
A is correct.
Nice.
All right.
Good job.
Last question. Focus up now. Which Ben McCool project has a town who can't remember anything? Is it A, The Immortals, B, Memoir, or is it C, Jersey City?
I know that one.
So it's either A, Immortals.
Wow. Slam.
B, Memoir, which kind of makes sense because it almost has memory in there.
It almost has it in. Almost has it in.
Or
there.
Or it's C, Jersey City. Would they? If anybody lives there, they wish they didn't remember. It's,
right.
It's lovely town.
Yeah, lovely town. No, it's Memoir, which is a
Memoir
great,
is correct. Book.
Nice.
$25, sir. Right. Spend it all in one place.
And by the way, on the subject of Memoir, real quick, Nikki Cook tells me that she's basically finished it. So issue 6 finally will be out in the next few weeks.
Nice.
Oops, I thought you just forgot to do it.
All right. Guys, as we all know, tomorrow is New Comic Book Day. We're meant to recommend you go to Midtown Comics because they've been nice enough to sponsor the show. Justin, what are you looking forward to?
Shade number 9 coming out. Been a great series from James Robinson. I'm a huge Starman fan. His work, I feel like, since Starman has been a little bit all over the place. This is great, though. This whole series.
Yeah, you really like Shade.
Really like Shade. Also,
Shade is an excellent series. Really good. Series, definitely pick it up.
And while Pete's looking, Popeye number 1, the second printing comes out tomorrow. I picked up the second issue this past week. It was awesome.
Really?
It was really good.
Is it Roger Langridge doing that?
It's Roger Langridge, yeah.
Superb.
And Tom Neely's on art with another guy, and their art's great, and it's really funny and sort of creepy.
He has a gun now, so that's kind of intense.
Yeah, just about time.
Pete, how's it going? What are you looking forward to?
Spinach fueled gun.
Oh,
yeah, exactly.
I'm looking forward to Deadpool number 56.
Oh, nice.
Deadpool number 56.
What's going on with Deadpool?
Well, Deadpool really wanted to kill himself for a while, which was a dark time for me. Yeah. But he's realized the error of his ways, and now he's ready to get back. And
that's when you went goth, if I remember correctly.
Yep. I started wearing black eyeliner.
Started wearing all black.
Never stopped.
Yeah, so.
Cool. So pick up Deadpool. Okay, I'm looking forward to Dancer number 2 from Image Comics is coming out. It's by a guy named Nathan Edmondson.
Reindeer?
Yeah, Dancer the Reindeer. It's by a guy named Nathan Edmondson who on the series that he wrote last year that was so good.
Oh, yeah.
But Dancer is about this guy who's a super spy. He's gotten old. He's left the business. Starts dating this dancer from the title. And then suddenly, years later, people start attacking them and trying to kill him. End of the first issue. This is a spoiler. But he finally sees the guy who's trying to kill him on a rooftop, and it's him 20 years younger.
What?
Yeah.
What?
And the second issue picks up right there. Great book. Really tense, really tight. Awesome
so
concept.
Much dance.
Yeah. So much dance. It's like Glee meets Spies.
Except
without... It's like Bunheads... Me, no? Nobody?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
You guys got to watch Bunheads.
Wow. Is that a miniseries or a new ongoing?
Bunheads?
No.
Oh, okay. I think it's a miniseries. But it's fantastic. If you're looking for a new book to pick up, definitely pick up Dancer. Ben, what are you looking forward to?
Well, that certainly sounds very cool, so I'll definitely be checking that out. But I just need to get involved in it before Watchmen. Like I say, I've not read any of it yet so far. Silk Spectre looks absolutely gorgeous. So I'm going to head home and get stuck into some of that stuff, I think. Also, I must catch up on Popeye. Love Popeye as a kid. weird. I love the irony that spinach isn't actually nowhere near as nutritious as he thought it was when the cartoon first came out, but of course it was too late. Anyway, I'm digressing. So yeah, so popcorn, popcorn, bloody hell. Popeye looks pretty awesome as well. I think I'll be checking popcorn. I like popcorn too. Yeah. Do you know those big giant buckets you get at the AMC theaters?
They're going to make it legal.
I had two of them during Prometheus.
And what?
Are you serious? I wonder why I'm so bloody chubby.
You walked out during the movie and got a second?
Well, I got in there really, really early because I wanted a good seat.
When you get two of them, do they call it the chest burster?
No, they just look at me. Well, you know, they might as well have done because...
good one.
Yeah, it
Thank
hurt,
you.
Man. I got second halfway through the second one and felt rather ill. But luckily, I really enjoyed the movie, so that took the edge of it.
Cool. And what should people check out from you? What should they look forward to?
Okay, then. So, like I say, Nevsky's out in either 2 or 3 weeks, depending which date on the website is correct. But just it's going to be really cool. It's like a big, gorgeous deluxe edition. It's going to look the absolute bee's knees. So please, please, please check that out. And like I say, Dirt Davis is up on ShiftyLook.com, completely free of charge. So if you haven't already, go check it out. It's cool.
All right, there you go. Memoir. A couple of things and memoir.
Yeah, memoir too.
Yes, like I said, I'm delighted to announce that Nikki texted me and said, I've almost done it. I think there's 2 pages to go. So she said that you should have them done by Monday, get them off to the printer, memoir 6 will finally come out, and then there'll be a nice shiny trade paperback with it all collected.
Hell yeah.
Excellent. All right, looking forward to that. Okay, a couple of things before we go. Next week on the show, we're going to have Dan Slott is going to be here to talk about Amazing Spider-Man.
Nice.
And the 50th anniversary of Amazing Spider-Man that's coming up in particular. So
happy anniversary.
Cool.
Yeah.
Pete, what should people check out?
A friend us on Facebook so you get to hear about all the amazing guests we have on the show.
Follow us at Comic Book Live on Twitter.
Yep, and you can check us out at comicbookclublive.com or on Nerdist.com for the audio podcast. A couple of people we want to thank before we go. We want to thank Ben for being on the show.
Ben McCool!
Boothman!
Boothman!
We want to thank everybody at Fontana's and everybody at the Nerdist. And, of course, we want to thank you guys. We're every Tuesday night. Tell your friends, good night!
Good night! Yes.